Right, good morning. I'm going to be reading the passage that we're going to be wanting to focus on this morning, which is all of Psalm 103. And I'm going to need your help while I'm doing this, though. I'll read a little bit of the passage, a small portion, and then I'll have a slide up that says congregation on it. And when that happens, if you guys could repeat verse 2, which is, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your mouth is so that your youth is renewed like eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for all those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. It's a wonderful psalm. There, all those things are listed as benefits of the Lord. And so that's what we want to focus on at this time. Aaron Johns, who's one of our youth and is a senior this year, was prepared to give our message this morning, focusing on Psalm 103. And Aaron has the flu really badly and is not here. And ironically, or maybe as part of God's design, his mother, Krista, is here, and it's Mother's Day, and as mothers are often called upon to do, she's going to step in briefly for her son and share some thoughts with us also from Psalm 103, from a parent's perspective, I believe, and so we appreciate you doing that, Krista. Let's pray for Aaron also and a few others as Krista is preparing to give her remarks. Father, we thank you again that you are so great and mighty. You're awesome in all your ways. Lord, as we've even just started to scratch the surface in reading this psalm of all the things that you've done for us, we pray that you would help our hearts to continue to focus on you. And Father, bless Aaron. Help him to recover quickly. I pray that he would have another opportunity in the near future to bring his words that he had prepared for us. We pray that you'd strengthen him and all of our youth, that they would continue to walk with you. Lord, we honor you and bless you and continue to worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I think it's rather amusing that on Mother's Day, the gift that my children give me is the flu. All of them. Addison is on the outside. She's fine. She'll only shake elbows, not hands. But that having been said, if we look at Psalm 103 and we read verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So, many of you know our situation, and many of you know Aiden. And on April 26th, 2008, we received a diagnosis for him. Aiden had not had a diagnosis of cerebral palsy until he was almost 3 years old. And I have over the years used a devotional called Streams in the Desert. And this is the date for the day when we got Aiden's diagnosis. It's Philippians 3. It says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. Actually, it's the 25th, sorry. Which is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. And it talks about how grief is slow to come to an understanding of what God has planned. And these two women are outside the tomb. Did they see anything except that Christ was gone? And this is from Streams in the Desert. The Christ you and I know today came from their loss. Countless mourning hearts have since seen resurrection in the midst of their grief. And yet these sorrowing women watched at the beginning of this result and saw nothing. What they regarded as the end of life was actually the preparation for coronation. For Christ remained silent that he might live again with tenfold power. They did not see it. They mourned. They wept. They went away. And then came again to the sepulcher driven by their broken hearts. And still, it was only a tomb. Unprophetic, voiceless, and drab. It is the same with us. Each of us sits opposite our tomb in our own garden. And initially we say, this tragedy is irreparable. I see no benefit and will take no comfort in it. And yet right in the midst of our deepest and worst adversities, our Christ is often just lying there waiting to be resurrected. Our Savior is where death seems to be. At the end of our hope, we find the brightest beginning of fulfillment. Where darkest seems the deepest, the most radiant light is set to emerge. And once the experience is complete, we find our garden is not disfigured by the tomb. Our joys are made better when our sorrow is in the midst of them. And our sorrows become bright through the joys God has planted around them. At first, the flowers of the garden may not appear to be our favorites, but we will learn that they are the flowers of the heart. The flowers planted at the grave, deep within the Christian heart, are love, hope, faith, joy, and peace. And so as I thought about these things, as I pondered the fact that these women are sitting there and they can't see the future, I was able to relate that to my own situation. And seriously, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this for you before. I did not see any hope in my future with Aiden. I looked at my little boy and thought, he is broken and there is no joy. There is no joy. I am never going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I am never going to see, I'm never going to see him do those things that most children do. I was overwhelmed by the responsibility. I was weakened by the thought of the commitment of raising a child with special needs. And so these women sitting before the tomb, they spoke to me. I did not see the joy in the tomb. I did not see the coronation on the other side of that. And so this is what I wrote on the 25th. There have been some April 25ths that I don't read Streams in the Desert. This year I did, and I was again reminded of the days just following Aiden's diagnosis of cerebral palsy. I read those verses 8 years ago, and I remember feeling like the two Marys as they went to the tomb, distraught, broken, and hopeless. I remember thinking that absolutely nothing good could ever come out of our family situation. Aiden was broken beyond repair, and I would never be joyful again. I felt like there was only loss, mourning, and sorrow. I remember feeling totally broken. Actually, I think it was more like I felt like I was shattered. Right now, 8 years out, I have a slightly different perspective. I am still sometimes overwhelmed by the enormity of the job that the Lord has given to us, but I do see good. I can sit in this garden of ours, planted with the seeds of sorrow and loss, and see the beauty of the flowers that are becoming and blooming now. I see the blooms of patience, responsibility, and self-control in my older children's lives as they learn to truly care for someone who depends on them. I see the flowers of teamwork and communication and deep love in my relationship with Dave. But the part of the garden that I treasure the most is where I find Aiden, giving a whole new meaning to the phrase, bloom where you're planted. He is generally happy, as most of you have seen, and he openly shares smiles with anyone who is willing to look his way. He isn't hindered by concerns that people will reject him, so he hugs those that he can reach. But Aiden also seems to bring the fragrance of a healing and comfort to our garden, as he, in ways that I can't even imagine, and I certainly don't understand, reaches out to those who are hurting, when others don't even realize that those people are hurting. I am amazed at the beauty that he brings to our garden. And I'm often reminded by something that Bobby Cook told me one day. He looked at me and said, Krista, Aiden has a ministry. You just don't get it. In my own part of the garden, there are struggles. I am not a good gardener. Sometimes it's from lack of water because I am not in God's word enough. Sometimes it's from too few seeds because of personal anger or pride or whatever gets in my way. And sometimes it's from plain stubbornness. Nevertheless, the master gardener is making headway in my little plot. I am able to recognize the shoots of contentedness pushing through the heavy soil, and the early blooms of hope are like fragrant lilacs. Someday, Jesus will gather all the flowers that are in my garden and in our family's garden and in our church, and he will gather them all together, and surely we will be a beautiful bouquet filled with a heavenly fragrance. And it's important that we know that as he is in our gardens, as he is tilling the soil in our lives, as he is teaching us things and planting seeds of love and forgiveness, that he has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom does rule over all of us. And we should forget not his benefits. At this time, if I could ask John to come forward, and he's going to take over from here.
Amen. Thank you, Krista. We do trust in God's sovereignty and his love and his care over all of us and his ability to give us what we need to bloom where we've been planted. Thank you for sharing those personal thoughts with us. And would also just encourage everybody to read through that psalm this week. There are an enormous number of things in there that God speaks to that touch various aspects of our lives, and it's been one that's been really meaningful to me over the years, and I'm glad that the youth chose that